Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are explicit sexual content and beef.
And I have a Apple review, and this one comes from Squeezy Lemon, and it says, smutty fun. Always love listening to you guys while on my mail route. I would love to see your opinion on How to Date Your Dragon from the Mystic Bayou series. I appreciate you guys so much. Sincerely, your friendly, unassuming mail lady.
Oh my God, I love that.
Crazy girl.
My husband works at the post office.
You know him, Squeezy Lemon?
You know Zach from the post office?
You know them? You know him?
And this month, we made Riley read Thick Beef by Layla Fay. And how many stars did you give it on Goodreads?
Honestly, I think I'm going to give it a 4.
Oh, it's good. Wow.
It was very entertaining. I liked it. It was a good one. If you want a quick little fun read and you like beef, read this one.
Okay.
Our story begins with our female main character booking it out of her dingy-ass apartment with loan sharks chasing after her. She has no clue how they even found her, considering she lives there illegally. No documents and no names. So she's just a squatter.
Oh, cute.
Her dad recently passed away, and he had a crippling gambling addiction, leaving her with an ungodly amount of debt. Not to mention, he owes some kind of mafia $200,000. She's running down an alleyway now and can hear them gaining on her as one of them says, "Stop, you fucking bitch."
Could you imagine owing somebody $200,000?
No. I would kill myself.
I would kill myself.
Not to say that you should if you owe that amount, but
also,
wow.
She didn't even gamble, so why?
No. How shitty is that? How shitty is that? Like, if your partner dies or something like that, and then you just have to take on all their debt?
No, fuck that.
Hell no. I'm not paying it.
Divorce me before I die.
Divorce me on your deathbed. She makes it onto a wider street, but it's 5 a.m. and there's no crowds for her to hide in. Her first encounter with the loan sharks was at her dad's funeral. They cornered her at the funeral, giving their condolences, and then let her know she had 7 days to pay the debt back. Yeah, see? I'm killing myself. 7 days?
Seven days?
Yep. This is like her seventh encounter with them at this point, and her last one, they told her she had two options. Either become a prostitute in one of their illegal brothels, or they cut her up and sell her organs. Yeah.
I feel like the choice is obvious.
Yeah. I'm putting my pussy out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was told the brothel offer would expire, so guess it's down to kidney cutting now. Black dots dance across her vision, and her lungs are on fire, but she needs a plan. She sees a big dark warehouse on her left with a door ajar and a reddish light peeking out. She's contemplating hiding in there when she feels outstretched fingers brush against her arm, and she books it again. This time, right into the warehouse. It's super twisty-turny, a lot of left and rights. The loan sharks are right behind her, but eventually she loses them. Also, while she is running through this warehouse, she is just hearing women scream and, like, animalistic noises.
Oh, God.
Oh, hell no.
Shitting and pissing. That's what I would be doing. She's walking through the warehouse now that she's lost the loan sharks and realizes this place is sort of a maze. a new wave of dread fills her when she hears a woman very close by scream, and then a disheveled woman in a torn dress barrels into her. Her hair is tangled and she has dirt on her face, but she's laughing and seems excited. The girl tells her she's never seen her here before and tells her the first time is always the best. But to be sure to tell them it's her first time if one of them catches her, or else they'll be rough. Obviously, our girl is like, what the fuck? Where am I? What is this? The woman pats her shoulder and runs away squealing. She hears a loud bellow, and then another squeal, and then a triumphant roar, and then moaning.
Is it like a pig squeal? Like, what is squealing?
She's like, she's like, oh my god! You know?
Okay. Fuck me. Oh, yes. Fucking please. Give me that huge monster cock. Give me all of it. I freeze, my mouth falling open. For the love of God, what are they? You'll take every fucking inch. A low, rumbly voice that can't belong to a human answers. And when I come inside you, you will take every drop I give you. What follows is a loud, piercing scream, and the metal shakes rhythmically as if I gasp, covering my mouth. Yup, there's no doubt about it. That woman and whatever caught her are fucking. Right in the middle of the maze where anyone can walk in on them. What exactly have I gotten myself into? Yeah, what have you gotten yourself into? Jesus Christ.
I don't know. Dun, dun, dun. She stands there a bit longer, wondering what these beasts look like. Is this some kind of cosplay? Is he wearing something to modify his voice? Obviously, the other girl was enjoying whatever was happening. Then she hears a low huff from behind her. Not threatening, but her entire body goes rigid. She's thinking she should run and scream, but curiosity gets the best of her, so she turns to look at whatever is behind her.
He's massive. That's the first thing I notice, and it makes my knees go weak. He has horns, two bony arcs jutting out from the side of his head, curving up and forward into sharp points. And those horns reach just an inch above the wall. Fucking hell. He's around 8 foot tall, with horns. He's completely still, wide nostrils flaring, and I gape with sickly fascination at the gleaming silver ring in his nose. It's like those rings bulls have, and his face is like those faces bulls have too. Something like a squawk tears out of my throat as I take in the wide, flat nose, small, beady eyes, and a straight, lipless slash of a mouth. He has a mane, of course, black hair with a fringe, but his upper body is hairless, almost human looking.
He has a mane, of course.
Of course.
He sounds terrifying.
Yeah, like I would run. Bull head, a human torso, bull legs.
And a mane.
Yeah, he's a minotaur.
Oh. But do minotaurs normally have manes?
No, normally they're all like fucking human up top. Or at least I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, they just have like human top and then just a little hoofs for legs.
Yeah. I just keep thinking of Narnia.
Oh, Mr. Tumnus?
Yeah.
I mean, that is James McAvoy, though, so smash.
Come here. Also, he has tattoos, of course.
Ooh.
On his fur?
Oh, no, remember his torso and arms are human.
Oh, okay.
Are they not going to be called brands since he's the Minotaur?
No, they're on his human body.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. He stands on two legs covered in smooth black fur and has hooves for feet. She gasps when she sees his tail wagging behind him. Then she sees another thing wagging.
Oh. Where before there was just an indefinite shape hidden under the fur, a long, thick cock now emerges, wet and glistening. Behind it, a heavy ball sack swings, its Ew. Skin black and stretched. Whoa, those balls are big.
Ew.
You got some big-ass balls.
Yeah, they're bull balls. The creature smiles at her and tells her she smells delicious, and she tells him he has a big cock. She's mildly turned on and also shocked, which, yeah, as anyone would be. I mean, I don't know about turned on, but maybe. I don't know.
Does she know that, like, these creatures exist, or is this the first time she's ever seeing a creature besides human?
First time she's ever seeing them.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be soaked at all.
Yeah.
No. No.
And she's, like, hot. Okay.
Big
balls.
Yes. She is, like, mildly turned on, but also frightened.
Okay.
His grin widens and he takes a step closer to her and she takes a step back. She's trying to convince herself this is not real, even though she knows it is very real. He smells delicious, musky, male sweat, an expensive cologne. She's all of a sudden so thirsty and her heart is beating fast as fuck.
I know, he says, stepping closer again, at which point I stumble back, desperately trying to keep the distance between us from shrinking. If you don't run, I'll put it inside you, baby girl. Baby girl!
I know.
He's a bro.
And he's saying I know because she said you have a big cock. Because at first I was like, you know what? She walks backwards until she hits a wall and says she's not his fucking girl. He's moving closer to her and tells her, not yet, but she will be. But the question is how much fun they'll have before he gets her. She looks to either side of her and both paths are clear. He tells her to run, baby girl, and she does just that. She books it. She's running fast as hell, every part of her body burning, and her bull man is close behind her. She runs past another bull, which then makes a little tussle ensue between her bull and the other bull, and she can't help but watch. The beasts wrestle until her beast is able to get the other to the ground. He tells the other beast that she is his, and if he touches her, he'll rip his cock off. He approaches her and she steps back because she is still very scared of him, and she tells him he can't just decide that she is his.
Movement catches my eye and I glance down, watching as his massive cock emerges out of the furry pouch-shaped space between his legs. It's red and all shaft. There's no head, just a flaring, tapered end with a hole. It doesn't look like a slit on a cock, but like an asshole.
What? No.
A puckered, round shape with wrinkled skin. When he huffs, his cock twitching, the hole pulses, opening slightly and releases a drop of wetness.
Oh my god.
So he has a butthole on his wiener?
Yeah. Like his pee hole is just like a gaping hole.
Ew!
It's like the size of a finger, the hole.
I think of the Alaskan bullworm from SpongeBob.
Yeah! I was like, we've never seen his dick, but you mean the whole thing is the worm?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah.
She gulps and he tells her she entered the Minotaur run, baby, and he puts a hand on the wall by her head. He tells her she signed the papers. That means he can do with her whatever he wants. Those are the rules. If he catches her, he owns her. And he asks if she signed the long-term one and he grabs her wrist, asking where's her bracelet. She is suddenly very overwhelmed and begins to cry, explaining that she was just running from something and she has no idea what he's talking about. She tells him to let her go. He tells her he can't let her go. Now that he scented her, he has to have her. He tells her after he makes her come with his mouth, she won't ever want anyone else. She tells him he's out of his mind, even though she's kinda down for it. The thought of riding this beast's face has her knees buckling. She tells him, no thank you, putting her hands on his chest to push him away. He tells her, too bad, so sad. She's all his now, and he's gonna dick her down.
Yeah.
She mentions here also that his dick smells like dinner. Take note.
Yum.
She tells him, nay, nay, your dick will tear me apart. Which, like, it's huge, so I'd be scared too.
Also, have you felt a cow tongue? Like, how is he going to make her come with his mouth? Those are sandpaper tongues.
Literally. And she says how rough it is, too. That it, like, it is rough. So I don't know how that's enjoyable on your sensitive little parts down there.
I went to the baby animal days at the farm, and a cow was licking my leg. I had a rash.
Oh my god.
That shit is rough.
Can you imagine that on your pussy?
Yeah. Ooh. Ow.
We'll work it in, he says, voice dripping with desire, inch by inch until you take it all like my good baby girl.
I hate the baby girl. I don't know why. I hate that.
I don't like it either.
Are you lost, baby girl?
At this point, she's had it. She's hit her breaking point. His dick is pissing her off. He's pissing her off. His attitude is pissing her off. She's been chased, threatened, chased again. She is done.
Why do you smell like fucking gravy, I ask, and kick him right in that huge swinging ball sack. Yeah, why do you smell like gravy?
Fess up. Yeah. Once she kicks him in the balls, she starts running again, trusting her instincts, and she finds a door out. She lets herself cry for a solid 30 seconds in the cool morning air before trying to come up with a plan. But before she gets any further, the loan shark finds her. They shout at her, and she starts running once again, but knows she won't make it far. So she decides to turn around and plant her feet and fight. But just then, she sees a large dark figure slam into the two men, knocking them down. It's her Minotaur.
Yay.
Yay.
Minnie. What are you doing here?
He tells the men that they don't touch what is his, and then he stomps on both their dicks with his hooves. The Minotaur walks over to her and gently picks her up. Even though she's slightly scared still, she embraces him and wraps her arms around his thick neck. He asks who those guys were, and she tells him some kind of mafia due to her dad. He tells her he's taking her home and that she needs protection.
And what do you want for your protection? I slur, my body already halfway to dreamland. Nothing, he answers with a huff that ruffles the sweaty hair on my temple. As I sigh in relief, settling comfortably into his strong arms, he adds, but if you're offering, a blowjob is a good start.
Oh, what a man.
I mean, he did just save her $200,000, so.
He did.
That is true.
He deserves a blowy.
Yeah, it's the least she can do.
I would get down on my knees and say, come here with your little asshole dick. She briefly falls asleep in his arms when a deep metal clang wakes her up. He tells her they are almost there, and then he calls out to one of the guards, Rick, to be on high alert. They may get attacked. Rick says, who'd you piss off this time, boss? And he tells him some mafia he doesn't even know. They're at his house now, which is like a giant townhouse with emerald green lawns surrounding them. Because he's a cow, you know? He's got a chew.
He's a pasture.
She's like, holy shit, this is a mansion. And he says, no, baby, the mansion is in another county. So he's got money.
Okay.
How?
I know. What do you do as a cow for money? He carries her up to the second floor and into a large, beautiful bathroom with a bathtub large enough to swim in. And I mean, like, duh, he's huge. Can't be in a normal bathtub. Everything in the house is super fancy and expensive looking. He tells her he'd figure she'd want to clean up a bit. And she's like, I don't think a blowjob is worth enough to pay for your protection. And who the hell are you? As she stares at his giant cock the entire time. We finally learn that his name is Lysander, and he tells her to kindly keep her eyes up here. She blushes and apologizes, telling him her name is Judith, but he can call her Jude. He strokes her chin and tells her it's not that he minds, but feeling her eyes on him just makes him want her even more, and she needs to rest. But fuck, she can't help it. I mean, I feel like I would just stare at it too if it was out. It's hard too. It's like hard until they fuck.
Oh my God.
Because he's scented her. That's his girl now.
He's hella horny.
Jude stares at it again and asks why it's up. Like why he has a bony. And Lysander says he will have a hard on until they mate. And she's like, excuse me, mate? And he says, yes, little Jude. When a male of his kind senses female, he has to mate and claim her. She tells him, but she stinks. Does that sort of thing appeal to him? And he's like, yeah, you do stink, actually. It's what I smell underneath that. I would cry.
He's like, bitch, you reek.
He's like, yeah, you smell like shit, actually. He tells her once she showers, they will confirm if he still scents her, but he's not letting her go, and he leaves her to shower. He's like, you must shower, please.
I'll see if I still like you afterwards.
Yeah. Jude takes a hot, steamy shower, barely awake enough to finish washing her hair, and then plops herself on the bed in her towel and passes out. While she was in the shower, she realized how truly turned on Lysander makes her, and this is all so confusing for her. When she wakes, it's late in the afternoon, and she can hear Lysander talking on the phone in a chair behind her. Something about a guy in the basement and needing to send a message. Jude rolls over to face him, and he's clothed now, wearing a pair of joggers, which I thought was funny. I don't know why.
On his little cow feet.
Yeah.
Just little hooves poking out the bottom.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny. He also still has a raging boner. It's just poking right up. He tells her there's water for her, motioning to the bedside table. When she sits up, she realizes she's butt naked and uses the silk sheet to cover herself. She asks him about the person in the basement, and he says, yup. They attacked the house while she was sleeping. The loan sharks. The mafia, actually. They're mafia.
Uh-oh.
Jude is obviously panicked and like, what the fuck? But Lysander tells her, baby girl, I got you. Even if she doesn't let him touch her, he will still protect her. Such a gentleman.
King.
He will send the mafia a clear message to stop fucking with him and what's his, and they will leave her alone. Jude is like, ah, fuck it. I'm gonna give this monster a blowy. She asks him how many blowjobs she owes him now, and he jokingly says 50. And she wants it. She wants him.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
She tells him she's ready and gets up from the bed and walks over to him. She gets down on her knees and they have some flirty back and forth, and now it's time to get down to business.
I stroke up, my hand moving easily in the slickness, and run my thumb over the puckered slit at his tip. When it opens under my touch, ew, and my thumb dips inside a little.
Ew!
I squeak and tear my hand away. So she's just like fingering his dick.
Yeah, just wait.
It opens?
Mm-hmm. Ew. Alarmed, I look up as he grunts with pleasure. What? Keep going, he says through clenched teeth. You can put your finger in there. It feels very good. Whoa. I watch the pulsing hole wearily as I bring my finger back up. I run it gently around the puckered rim, and Lysander exhales a long, heavy breath as the slit opens invitingly. You won't get an infection or something? I don't get sick.
What do you mean?
He's a minotaur.
He could get like mad cow or something.
He grunts as his cock jumps, pressing into my hand like an eager puppy. Please, little dude. Slowly, I dip my pinky inside and gasp in surprise as the opening squeezes closed around my finger, the muscle tensing.
That is foul.
As Jude pumps her hand up and down and fingers his penis hole, brown liquid seeps out.
Brown liquid?
Yeah, and guess fucking what? It's gravy.
Is it gravy?
It's gravy. Literally yeah, gravy. It's gravy. It's gravy.
I was going to say, he needs to see a veterinarian for that.
Yeah. Oh my God. They must have a crazy Thanksgiving.
He just jerks off all over the mashed potatoes.
He's like, oh, you need some more? And then Lysander tells her he really enjoys getting his balls slapped. So she does just that. She just slaps his balls. Jude is also loving this. It's like a science experiment for her. She's slapping his balls and fingering his hole, and he has an explosive orgasm, shooting gravy all the way up to the ceiling.
Oh my God.
He tells her that was the best orgasm he's ever had and that it's her turn now. They have a hot makeout sesh, and then he munches on her pussy. She rides his face until she also has the best orgasm of her life. But after this, she's in turmoil.
Also, her vagina is probably raw and bleeding.
She loves it. I don't know how it's
ground
not.
Beef.
Literally. She bolts to the bathroom to clean herself up. Suddenly being covered in his cum feels so wrong. She is so painfully conflicted about what she wants. She does not want to get attached to this man. Every person she's ever gotten attached to has left her. When she exits the bathroom, she sees that the entire room, including Lysander, are clean. And she's like, you have people that clean up after you have sex? And he says yes, but they wear protective gear and get very large bonuses anytime they have to. Jude asks for her clothes back and says she has to get going. And Lysander says, oh, you have commitment issues. And Jude said there's nothing to commit to. She's been an inconvenience to him this entire time. She just wants her clothes and then she'll be out of his hair. He tells her, well, sorry, I burned your clothes. They smell bad.
Stinky bitch.
Yeah, you smell. Also, you aren't going anywhere. He didn't save her out of the goodness of his heart. He's not out here just picking up strays. He says, you ain't ever leaving. You're mine. I would be so upset, but...
I mean, honestly, though, she was just about to be a literal sex slave. Like, I feel like this is best case scenario.
Not even
bed. She's going to get chopped up.
She's going to get chopped up because she had to say yes right then and there. Yeah. So she's going to get chopped up. Yeah, I would stay with this Minotaur, actually. Yeah, I would. He's rich.
And if he wants to just treat me like a little princess, why not?
Yeah. All right. Jude shouts at him that this is ridiculous. And you know what? He's got a point. He tells her he's not above using her debt to keep her here. He's got a man in his basement who was sent to kill her, and he's the one choosing to protect her. She owes him whether she likes it or not. And like, true girl, get on your knees, girl. And deep down, Jude wants to stay. Internally, she's like, aw, man, I have to stay. Dang it. Boo. But she gives Lysander a pathetic nod in agreement, and he brings her in for a hug. They chat about her reluctance for commitment, and she tells him every time she's trusted someone, they fucked her over. And he says, baby, don't worry about trust. Just hold up your end of the bargain. As payment for saving her life, she'll stay with him forever. And Jude tells him he won't want her forever. And he says, well, I scented you, so I will. But to make you feel more comfortable, we'll draw up a contract. And if I ever decide to leave you, you'll get a big settlement and a house so you're comfortably set up. And this actually sounds really nice to Jude, but she starts to protest again. And Lysander is not having it. He stomps his little hoof. And Jude thinks he's so sexy when he's angry. He apologizes for getting angry, telling her his bony is making him irritable.
He just came as gravy.
I know, but he has to like fuck her for it to go down.
Right. Okay.
Also, new clothes arrived for her while she was sleeping and they should probably eat. She tells him he can blame his bad attitude on his dick all he wants, but he has quite the temper. He says, if you want to help with my temper, you better kiss me. And they start making out and he lifts her up so her legs are straddling his waist.
I want to fuck you, baby girl, he says, his voice dropping to a low, intimate rumble. Please. He kisses my neck, rough tongue swiping over my skin. Let me fuck you. Another hot kiss drops on my jaw, followed by a lick that makes me shiver. I'll go slow. Be gentle. More kisses pepper up my cheek. Please, little Jude, I'm going crazy. I need you so much. Do it, little Jude.
Do it, girl. I don't know. I thought that was like kind of just like the begging. I was like, oh.
Beg some more.
Do it. Jude says yes, so Lysander throws her on the bed and gets in between her legs and licks her ass to clit.
And can I breathe you? He rumbles between licking me so deliciously, I can't help but shake. Just a little bit. Just once. Need to put my cum inside you. Please, baby girl.
Let me make you a beef Twinkie.
Ew.
A meat pie.
Yeah.
Oh, meat pie. Jude moans, raising her hips higher, pressing herself into his face. He feasts on her puss, and Jude is getting hornier and hornier. She wants his dick. He asks about anal and she says, God, no. And he's like, you sure? And she's already scared for her pussy. So she's like, yeah, I'm sure. But then agrees that maybe later they can try anal.
She's going to get torn in half.
Yeah. Literally, I would say, get that away from my asshole. Get it away.
Yeah, yeah.
So here then, he asks, pushing his tongue in my pussy again, as deep as it can go. It feels so good and I clench, moaning. Can I feel this tight little pussy with my cum, little Jude? Will you let me?
Yes!
Yes!
I scream it this time. So horny, I'm out of my mind.
Yes! Fill me with your cum.
Fill me with your gravy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jude is begging for his cock at this point, and Lysander is playing with her for a bit, and Jude snaps and tells him either they fuck right now or not at all. So she's in the middle of the bed on her stomach, and Lysander gets ready to put it in her. He slowly inches in, and Jude is about to come just from him putting it in. It takes him a minute to get him fully in, but once he's in, they fucking.
Yeah.
Jude comes multiple times, and after Lysander comes, they lay side by side on the bed. The sex was so much better than Jude could have imagined, but now she's panicking because she can't have sex with anyone else. This was the best sex of her life. How could she give this up? Lysander turns to her and says, hello, mate. And Jude is like, mate? What does this mean? And he tells her, it means she is his and he is hers. She's understandably freaking out a little, asking if this is basically their version of marriage. And he's like, well, kind of. Then he explains that he normally uses a magical glamour to appear human in a day-to-day life. But during the Minotaur run, which is basically a mating event where they chase potential partners, he drops the disguise. So that's where they met, at the Minotaur run.
Oh.
And he's been going to the Minotaur run for 2 years, trying to find his mate. And now he's found her. And he's not letting her go.
That's his pookie.
And even though she's still processing all of this, the chemistry is very much still happening. She's ready to go again, and of course, so is he. He asks if she's ready for anal, and she says she's down as hell.
Oh my god.
Crazy girl. Now that they're mated, she wants him just as much as he wants her. Lysander asks her to open up the bedside drawer on her side, and hearing him say her side gives her a thrill. She's like, oh my god, my side. I don't even think it's been 24 hours.
No.
Also, of course she's excited about having her own side of the bed. She was a squatter.
Yeah. She's like, I don't even have a bed at home.
Instead of picking up the lube, she pulls out a smooth metal rod. Jude asks him what it is, and Lysander tells her it's a sounding rod for his cock.
Jude asks him if it goes all the way in, and Lysander asks if she wants to find out. Jude tells him he is way too trusting, and he's like, well, you're trusting me with your asshole, so I guess we're even. Which, like, fair.
Push it all the way to the bladder, baby.
Jude starts by lubing up the sounding rod and gets Lysander prepped while straddling him, her ass to his face. There's a lot of mutual teasing happening. She's playing with his cock. He's fingering her darkest secret. They're both trying to push each other to the edge without fully giving in. Mind you, while they're doing this, they are also carrying on a conversation. I don't think I've ever done that. Have you?
No. I don't think so.
Lysander tells her she's not going to work anymore because not only is she his target of protection, because, you know, kill her in the basement, but also because he plans to keep her thoroughly occupied. Jude tries to sass back, but she's also completely into it.
Fine, I won't go to work, I say, pushing the rod inside, this time through resistance. He jerks again, making a strained sound, and fucks my ass with his finger, breathing hard. I finally allow myself a moan, arching so my ass is fully exposed, and he grunts with appreciation. Fuck me with it, baby girl, he rasps, just like I'm fucking you. He doesn't have to tell me twice. I grip the rod, brace myself on one elbow, and start thrusting. Oh my god.
That sounds so painful.
It's not a normal penis, right? So is it still sounding when that thing gapes open to take a small metal rod?
Technically, yeah. I read a Chuck Palahniuk book where this kid heard about sounding, so he melted a candle and took the wax and he rolled it into a rod and then he shoved it up his pee hole, but then it broke in his pee hole.
Did he have to get surgery?
I think so, yeah.
And this is why you don't do homemade sex toys.
Yeah.
That's true.
I saw something where someone fit a shot glass up their urethra.
How?
No. It's no. A thing. Yeah, Google it. I saw it on Snapchat when I still had Daily Mail. I would check Daily Mail every day. And it was like literally on Daily Mail.
A shot glass?
Yes.
How?
Shout out Daily Mail. I feel like I need to see a video, unfortunately. I'll find it for you. There wasn't a video, but it was a picture of the x-ray.
Oh, God. You remember back in the early 2000s where you'd find all those, like, fucked up videos, like the two girls, one cup thing?
Yeah, I don't even know how we fucking found those.
There was one called Kids in the Sandbox. Did you guys watch that one?
Wait, it has to do with shit, doesn't it?
No.
No, that's Two Girls, One Cup. Oh, yeah, that is Two Girls, One Cup. What's the sandbox one again? What does he do? He sits on something, doesn't he?
No, that's Jar Squatter. Kids in the Sandbox, he has a vibrator and he shoves it up his pee hole and he's just like thrusting it into his pee hole. And you can see the like pee hole separating. It's disgusting. I don't know why it's called Kids in the Sandbox.
Oh my God.
I've never seen that.
Does he bleed?
I don't think so.
I wish I didn't know that.
I'll send you the link.
No! He tells her to slow down or he'll come and she says, so what? You'll be hard again in a minute. And he calls her a minx as he fingers her ass with two fingers and she's begging for more. And he then puts in three fingers in her ass and she turns to look at him.
Fuck me, I say, surprised by how raspy my voice is. I clear my throat. Come on, bull boy. I'm done waiting.
Come on, bull boy.
Bull boy. Also, throughout this whole book, he's like huffing and puffing. Literally. Yes. He tells her to lay on her back, so she does, and she spreads her legs, pushing them up to her chest.
Lysander moves deeper, and the friction soothes the sting until the tension inside me uncoils, and I moan in relief. Good girl, he murmurs, buried so deep. I feel his hips pressing intimately into me, taking it all up her ass.
Oh, so he put his wiener in her booty?
Yeah, it was anal time.
Her shit's just gonna drop right out from now on.
Lysander checks in with her to make sure she's doing okay, and she says yeah, but internally, she's like, oh my god, this is the best shit ever. He's thrusting into her, and she feels perfect and complete.
Just like this, baby girl. Oh, fuck, just like this. I've never fucked a human ass. You feel so good. Thank you.
In Jude's head, she's like, wait, what the fuck? Because she's like, why would you make me do anal if you've never even done anal with a human before? She asks how he knew it would fit in her ass, and he tells her she was made to fit him. He tells her she'll never want another cock but his. They both have explosive orgasms and snuggle up and fall asleep for a bit.
Later on, Jude steps out of the bathroom to see Lysander dressed in a suit, messing with his cufflinks. He shows her the wardrobe he bought for her, and it's like a shit ton of clothes. Fancy clothes, normal clothes, a ton of them. He tells her they have a job to complete, the man in the basement. Lysander wants her help and tells her to put some clothes on and hands her a pair of combat boots. So she picks out a tank top, cargo pants, and gets the heavy combat boots on. They make their way down to the basement, and the man that was sent there to kill her is sitting tied up on a chair. Lysander tells him he tried to kill his mate, so he should slaughter him, but nay nay, he should be more afraid of Jude. He tells Jude that he'd like her to show their guest what she does to men who threaten her. At first, Jude doesn't get it, but then she remembers. So she walks over to the man and stomps repeatedly on his dick while he screams. And she said it felt really good, and I bet it did.
All right.
After that, Lysander has his people take care of him. His plan was not to kill him, just to send a message not to fuck with him. Lysander and Jude go and have dinner made by his chef, and he tells her this is her home now, and she is so happy. We're in the epilogue now. A year and a half has passed, and she's pregnant with their first baby, and they live happily ever after. The end.
Cute. Oh,
love that. So happy for her.
This is one of my favorite Riley reads we've ever done. I loved it.
Yeah, it was a good one. Good. See? What'd you guys think?
I'm scared of his wiener still, but it was good.
Yeah,
it
his wiener good. Is scary. I wonder how it felt.
Horrible. Slimy. With gravy coming out? Yucky.
I think I'm a freak because I would just want to put a strap on and fuck his dick.
Oh my God.
Oh. All right, Jenna.
I would want to jerk him off over a famous bowl from KFC.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'd say, get over here, baby. I need some gravy for my dinner.
These potatoes need some gravy.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.